Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1078. Our topic is nutrition and the title is Daily Meal Adjustments, Real Life Example. I thought this would be fun. I'm actually recording this on September 12th. This is the day we're going to be talking about the real life experience was yesterday. And I'm actually recording this on September 12th, and it's going to be unfortunately released late because I'm going to be releasing it today. I normally have the podcast come out at 6 in the morning, so I'm running a little bit late today. But I thought it was a cool topic. Is I actually wanted to discuss how Meredith and I would adjust meals during our normal days, and then what we do when the day isn't normal. And this is what everyone has to do, is we have like our perfect plans, and then what do you know, life isn't perfect. It isn't the exact same thing every single day. It isn't always very predictable. So what do you do when you have to make changes? What's the kind of best, not exactly like there's one step to follow or one set of steps to follow when life changes, but just wanted to talk through an example of how we navigate through that. And there's going to be some, you know, things to learn, some things to take away, I hope so. I just thought it would be an interesting podcast, is seeing the reality of changes. We're always talking about making perfect programs or how to set up things in, like, perfect scenarios. So let's talk a little bit about when it gets messy. So the diet that what we're going to do today is talk about Meredith's nutrition. And I thought it would just be easier to talk about one person rather than trying to blend both of ours together. So we're going to talk about hers. And recently, we created a diet plan in the sense of a planned caloric deficit to help her lose some body fat going into kind of the holiday season. So she wants to just kind of look better, feel better, you know, all the good things. And she was thinking about, like, oh, coming up, you know, are going to be a lot of photos. Her birthday's in December, Christmas is in December, and then our wedding anniversary, 1 year wedding anniversary, oh my gosh, it's amazing, is going to be a New Year's Eve. So we got married on New Year's Eve here in 2020, so that'll be exciting. So she has a lot of photos coming up, and she wants to feel confident, she wants to look good, and it's also just kind of a good motivator. It gives her, you know, like a time frame to aim for, roughly, 10 to 12 weeks. And she has a wedding halfway through, so it's pretty cool setup, is we have the wedding to kind of push for in short term and to kind of see like halfway progress. And then we'll have another set of 6 weeks or so to push for the first holiday, which is be her birthday. And then we're going to still try to see, you know, if we can make some 2 week changes worth of that leading into New Year's. So it's a lot of little cool short goals that are adding to her long term goal. And that's definitely something I'd always recommend, is have something that's like the big picture, but then have some small picture things. And even though we have these small picture things, she goes even smaller than that, which is perfect, is we track everything she does every day. So I actually have a Google document that I track, and it'll track like whether we're on point for calories, whether we're high, whether we're low. It tracks whether we weight train that day, or we do cardio, or we do both, or none. So I track a lot of that stuff. And then she has a normal daily tracker that she'll do for like her self-care things. So it's cool because we're tracking every single day whether we're doing good things or bad things. We're leading every single day into a short-term goal. And then your every single day and your short-term goals are leading into long-term goals. And that's awesome. When you have it layered like that, you always have motivation. You always have something to think of that can get you to do the right action today, even if you don't feel like it, kind of thing. So her current nutrition plan, how we set this up, is she works from home, and that the benefit of that is everything's pretty consistent during work hours. So we have a set breakfast, we have a set lunch, and then I kind of leave the rest of the meals of the day up to just a caloric allowance. And then we go to the end of the day, we have a protein shake before we go to bed. The reason why I set the breakfast is she normally eats the same thing for breakfast anyhow, so I can control that one and get like a certain amount of protein out of it. And then for lunch, same thing, she normally eats the same food every time, so I can get a controlled amount of protein out of that. And then what we have right before she goes to bed is a 20 grams protein powder in almond milk. And that gets me the baseline of protein that I need. So that way, the rest of the meals she has throughout the day, there's a lot of freedom in them. And I'll give you some examples here in a second. But it makes sure that I still get the baseline of protein that I need we have a set amount of kind of healthy, stable foods rather than everything being snacks and, you know, kind of easy peasy food all day. It's going to be good, hearty things that'll give her energy, gives her tons of vitamin, mineral, you know, variety, all the kind of healthy kind of things of nutrition. So what we have here is her breakfast is one gluten-free bagel. She has celiac disease, so she has to eat everything gluten-free. So one gluten-free bagel. We have 2 tablespoons cream cheese, and it's going to be a cup of egg whites. Now, we had some whole eggs to use up, so I've been using a half cup of egg whites and just one whole egg until the whole eggs are gone, until I can eat all through them, and then she can help me pick them off one by one every day. But that's going to be her breakfast, is one gluten-free bagel, 2 tablespoons cream cheese, and 1 cup egg whites. That equates to around 500 calories, plus or minus a little bit here and there, but it's around 500. And then her lunch is gluten-free pasta, and then she has vodka sauce with the pasta and 2 ounces of Parmesan cheese. What we found was, instead of measuring out each meal for pasta and each meal of the sauce, we found that if you combine the whole box of gluten-free pasta and the whole jar of vodka sauce, if we divide that into 4 separate containers, that gives her the right kind of caloric proportion per meal. So I thought that was interesting to show that, you know, most often people would weigh out, okay, X amount of pasta, X amount of sauce. We're actually like, hey, you know what? If you make the whole pasta box and you make the whole vodka sauce jar and we divide that by 4, that gives her around the 350 to 400 calories that we need in the meal, plus the Parmesan cheese. It puts us up around 500 again. So it's interesting that when I make it, I just put the whole box in, put the whole vodka sauce jar in, and then I just divide it into 4 Tupperware containers, and then boom, we're good to go. So every morning I'll just put it on a nice plate or a bigger bowl or something, that way she doesn't have to feel like she's eating out of Tupperware all day. But that way when she heats it up or makes it for that day, it feels more like a real meal, which is just cool to feel that way. Then, as we said, the end of the day, we have the 20 grams of protein powder and almond milk. What this does is it gives us roughly 500 calories for breakfast, 500 calories for lunch, and 100 calories before bed. So 1,100 of her calories every single day are accounted for already. Now, she eats a lot more than 1,100 because she'd be dead. And so what we have is the rest of the day can fluctuate. And we have it fluctuate based on activity. And this helps to create the caloric cycling that I'm always talking about, as the need for caloric cycling during diets, as that will help ensure that the body doesn't kind of like down-regulate its metabolism to run at just the speed of your lowest caloric intake. If you always consume the exact same number of calories, your body tries to adjust to that, and it will figure out how to operate off of only those calories. So if you cycle your calories a little bit higher, a little bit lower every day, the body can't quite adjust to the lowest one, and therefore you have a resting metabolic rate, like a kind of how much calories your body uses, is a little higher on average than if you had a consistently low intake. So we have a couple podcasts that will help you learn about that, whether you're trying to lose weight, whether you're trying to break through like a plateau, or whether you're trying to gain weight. So I'm about to give you the numbers, so get a piece of paper or something if you need. But podcast 173, so long ass time ago, podcast 173, it was titled The Need for Caloric Cycling During Diets. Great podcast to learn about why you need caloric cycling or why it can help when you're trying to lose body fat. Then we have podcast 857, titled Caloric Cycling to Breakthrough Plateaus. We talked about it for fat loss, talked about it for gaining weight, for sport performance, kind of just a general statements around caloric cycling. And then podcast 964 is a podcast titled Caloric Cycling for Weight Gain. So it actually tells you how to use caloric cycling to gain weight if somebody's trying to add muscle size. So there's a little bit of informational background as to why we're doing caloric cycling. So how we're setting it up for her is, on top of her normal 1,100, she gets 1,200 more calories a day if she does like weight training stuff. Now this would be whether we train at Brutal Iron Gym. She also likes to do CrossFit workouts. She used to be a CrossFit instructor for years. So sometimes we'll go and do a CrossFit, a local CrossFit gym. So just some kind of weight training. Whatever she does that day, if it's weight training, she gets 1,200 extra calories. If it's cardio only, and that's whether she's using like our kind of like step It's like an elliptical, but with a high pat, like a high movement circle, like rather than an elliptical, like a horizontal circle. So it's kind of like a step up and elliptical motion in one. We have one at home and one at the gym. So if she does cardio only, it's 1,000 calories, not 1,200. And if she doesn't do any of the physical things, it's only 800 calories extra. So we have the base breakfast, the lunch, the before bed. And then we have 1,200 on training days, 1,000 on cardio days, and 800 extra on no activity days. That gives her the ability to kind of mix up her foods and have more variety within her day, but not lose track of her results, not lose track of the progress that she wants. So her snacks can be cottage cheese, Greek yogurt. She does core power, like protein shakes, which is just a pre-made drink that tastes pretty damn good, actually, from Fairlife Milk. So it has like lactase enzyme already in it, so people tend to digest that better. And she can even have fruit. So really, she can have anything. Every once in a while, she'll sneak in some like gluten-free whatever the hell those things are, cookies, or like these ginger snap kind of cookies, and they're great. They give her a little taste of something sweet, still matches her calorie goal, no worries whatsoever, so she can have all that. It also leaves our dinner open to just whatever she would want. Recently, we've been doing like a hibachi type meal, so I'll cook chicken, broccoli, rice, and then she has 2 tablespoons of yum yum sauce on that meal. So it gives her a lot of variety, but we could swap that out for anything we want, really. There's tons of options. So the idea of this program is we have a structured breakfast and lunch because she's already structured during the day. It just makes it easy to already know what it's going to be. We have the protein shake before bed to know that no matter what we do the rest of the day, we're still going to get the right amount of protein in by the end of the day. And then by having the remaining amount of calories being open, it allows us to do the cycling of calories with ease of changing food, and it allows her to have food variety. So that way she can pick whatever she wants for snacks and pick whatever she wants for dinner. So it's an amazing structure in the sense that it gives you some structure, but it also gives you tons of freedom. And we can track every single day. It's pretty easy. Boom, making progress. Awesome. Now, what do you do when all that changes? So we ran into that yesterday. Actually, she had a friend she hasn't seen in a while, was in town, and we were like, oh, that's awesome. Let's see if we can meet up. Well, it turned out that we were going to be able to meet up around lunchtime. So our normal lunch was going to be not normal. What do? Well, we went to a restaurant, and we were able to pick food that we deemed it to be something that we would enjoy, but then also something that's relatively healthy. So if we went to like a Mexican restaurant and we got, you know, queso and guac with chips, and then you ate this big ass, you know, 1,000 calorie burrito, and, you know, you also had a side dessert of some kind of pie, well then, hell no, that's not going to work. That's going to be way too many calories. So you can choose to do that on that day if you don't want to follow your plan and you don't want to have progress that day. You just want to have a mental release. But she wants progress. So how do we do that? Well, almost all restaurants offer some type of meat and salad. So that's one of the ones we'll commonly pick. Or we do a meat and vegetables and then ask for no butter and no oil. But you can do this. So we picked a grilled chicken salad, and the website for the restaurant we were at did not have nutritional fact information. So I am one of those people, so I'll Google it real quick and see. I couldn't find it. So what I did was I Googled 3 other restaurants that have similar type of meal, and we averaged out their calories to be around 500 to 600 calories is what she consumed in that meal. Now, that happened to work out exactly around where our lunch normally is at 500 calories, but by Googling that real quick, we then knew exactly how to handle the rest of the day. So that took me probably 1 minute. If 1 minute, I'd be surprised. So for 1 minute investment, we knew exactly what to do for the rest of the day, and we knew for a fact we were on track, and it calmed anxiety, calmed stress. We didn't feel like we ruined the whole day just because we wanted to go see friends. I mean, it's an amazing the mental and emotional benefit you'll get if you just invest, you know, a couple minutes into looking up this stuff. So it's sad to me that people will give up emotional and mental freedom, emotional and mental health, because they won't spend 5 minutes looking up something on the internet. That's just, oh, it doesn't even make sense, right? That doesn't make sense. Why do we do that? So What we did then also was on the way home, back home from meeting friends, we stopped by Brulard Gym. We did a good little workout. We knew that that was going to kind of push us up to the higher caloric allowance. So even if we had guesstimated wrong with the chicken salad calories, we know that, okay, if I go and exercise and I lift weights, that gives me my highest caloric allowance day. So I'm going to go ahead and do that on this day. So that way, if I did guesstimate wrong or I ate a little too extra, that gives me that leeway. Then we had our normal dinner because she already had something fun for lunch. So you don't need, you know, to go hog wild and lose the entire day. So normal dinner. And then at the end of the day, she still had 400. We guesstimated around 400 calorie allowance, but she had 300 calories worth of something extra. I think it was like, Halo Top ice cream or whatever that name of that ice cream is. So she had 300 calories worth of that. And so it's awesome. So what we did was we adjusted our lunch. We knew we had to eat something different, but we chose something healthy and enjoyable. It combined the two. We then Googled to find out how many calories would probably be in it. And then in case we weren't correct, we did extra activity and we ate a little bit less right before bed. So you can do all of these things to help you stay on track, even when your normal schedule isn't on track. So I thought this would be interesting to see that how we both set up her nutrition plan and how we navigate following it every day. There's nuances to it. There's some things you have to learn along the way, but there's also just simplicity. You know, if you don't know how much a meal is, Google it. If you're not sure if you went over your calories, do extra activity. Holy hell, like it's not rocket science. Now, the hard part is wondering if what you're doing is right. That does become the challenge. So I know that these changes are correct because this is what I do for a living. So I have certainty when we do these things. You may not. You may have doubt. And that's going to cause a little bit of fear, anxiety. That's going to cause that mental, emotional stress. So you're going to do the things I'm telling you to do, but then you're going to doubt yourself and wonder if they're right. Well, track your results and see your progress. You know, if you feel good the next day and you're not super ravenous, then you probably guessed your calories right. If you, in the next day or two, you gain a pound of water retention and bloat, then maybe you overate. You just have to kind of track some things, see how your clothes are feeling. And over time, you can kind of practice these things and see the response of them. And it's a little bit of live and learn. Now, you can hire a trainer. I know I do this, so this is going to sound like a commercial for me. But if I want to have more confidence about changing things in my car, I would ask some old dude that I know and teach me new things about, like, teach me how to, like, work on my car, right? You would ask somebody, you'd hire somebody. I'm very blessed. My dad knows everything about everything. He's like the typical dad of like dad skills, where there's not a single thing he doesn't know more about than I do. So it's amazing. Someday I'll get on his level. But I'm very blessed in that if I ever have uncertainty, I can just ask him about dad stuff. And it's pretty cool. But if I wanted more confidence about things, like say I've got a new house and I want to learn lawn care, I'm going to talk to my dad about lawn care. You know, talk to somebody who knows these things and see if what you're thinking is right. You can hire a nutritionist. That's an awesome freaking way because, like, I work with people month by month by month. So some people we work 1 month together, they got an idea of what they had, what you wanted to know, and they're good. Some people we work 3 months together. Some people I work 6 months. Some people I've worked with for longer than I've owned Brutal Iron Gym. I've owned Brutal Iron Gym for 10 years, and I think like 7 months or 8 months at this point. And I have clients that have had for longer than that. Because they have the financial space for it. They love having the accountability. They love having just a life kind of coaching and kind of talking through things. They like having somebody share in their journey with them. So there can be, you know, kind of a sustained service to it, but it doesn't have to be. But if you're always doubting yourself, if you're always wondering, a month or two investment into having somebody give you more information, more personalized information, and help you through that is a hell of an investment for the entire rest of your life, right? So if you're always complaining that you don't know what you're doing, that's your own damn fault. There are services available. You can hire somebody else. You don't have to hire me. But there are ways for you to learn and become more certain. So that's your own damn choice if you're choosing to stay that way, okay? Sometimes we like to stay that way because it gives us that excuse for why we don't have to do things right. You know, if I want to eat, go out to a Mexican meal and I eat the chips, you know, guac and whatever the hell else there is, and then I have a big burrito and I have a dessert, well, you know, it's hard to know what to do about nutrition when you just can't, you know, be educated about it. So there's your bullshit crutch that you're leaning on. Well, kick that crutch out. Throw that sucker away. Get somebody to help you, okay? So you can try the things that I'm like giving you in these podcasts. But if you still have uncertainty, hire somebody. Get somebody on your side, you know, help. Have somebody just guide you for a little bit, and that can help calm this. So just something to throw out there, something to think of. But I thought it was cool to see just what our structure was and then how we kind of navigate that, how we allow for variance. Every single day we allow for variance, and we allow for just freedom of food choice while staying within a structure. So hopefully that was pretty cool to see. You're welcome to set up anything like this. If you know you have kind of meals that you have pretty typical every single day, just kind of count those up, count those as like a rigid thing. So that way you can have some structure, but then leave a couple meals open and just track calories. So for example, if you don't want to track calories of your whole day, of every single meal of every single day, this is an example that you don't have to. We already know our breakfast. We already know our lunch. It's the same thing every day. We already know that we're having that thing at the end of the day, the protein shake. So Meredith and I don't have to navigate adding up calories all damn day, all the time. We just have to count up a couple snacks and whatever we have for dinner. Boom, done. That's easy. So easy. So easy. So tracking calories and staying on track with your goals and progress, you can pick that where you have some structured meals, but then a couple open meals, and you only have to track the calories of those open meals. Pretty cool, right? Okay. Well, enough of me BSing. Hopefully this was helpful to listen through and just see kind of maybe a structure you weren't aware of was an option, and what we would do when we have to change that structure and how we adjust on the fly. If you have any questions about nutrition, I'm always happy to help. One of every four podcasts is Q&A dedicated specifically to the questions that we get sent in, which is awesome. And then I also try to make the other podcasts related to any questions I get as well. But that's what this podcast is. If you're listening to this, this podcast is your guide for all things health. If there's ever a question you have, always email me, brutalirongym@gmail.com. Totally free. I'll make you a podcast, okay? So please reach out. Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. If you like today's podcast, if you thought it was helpful, please share it. That's the most impactful thing we can do, is share the podcast so it helps other people as well. Thank you to those who have been sharing the podcast. The podcast is growing, so that's freaking awesome. Thank you so much. Sincerely, thank you so much. Then if you like the podcast, click like. If you like the information we present, you can find more from us on social media, on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. If you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, if there's ever anything you need, our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.